Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on retro rave jungle atmosphere, with a focus on arrangement in the arrangement view. Today we're not just building a loop. We're building a record, a track that feels like it rolled out of a sweaty 90s warehouse, but with modern control, modern phrasing, and a clean DJ-friendly shape. That's the real goal here, not just sound cool for 8 bars, but stay exciting for the whole journey. If you make drum and bass, you already know the truth. A heavy break and a solid bassline are not enough on their own. The arrangement is what makes the track move. It's what makes the drop feel earned, the breakdown feel emotional, and the outro actually usable for mixing. In retro rave jungle, arrangement matters even more because you're balancing contrast all the time, nostalgia and menace, space and pressure, clean sub and chaotic break energy. So in this lesson, we're going to think like record builders. We'll map the track first, then fill it in section by section, and along the way I'll show you how to use Ableton Live 12 tools like Simpler, Wave Editable, Operator, Auto Filter, Echo, Reverb, Saturator, Drum Bus, EQ8, and Utility to shape the energy. Let's start with the biggest mindset shift. Do not begin by polishing every sound in the project. Start by building the arrangement skeleton. Open a fresh set in arrangement view and create a rough structure with locators. For a 3.5 to 5 minute DNB track, a good starting map is 16 bars of intro, 16 bars of build, 16 bars of first drop, 16 bars of variation or breakdown, 16 bars of second drop, and 16 bars of outro. You can adjust that later, but the point is to think in clear 16-bar paragraphs. That matters because DNB is fast. At this tempo, if the listener doesn't get a new idea, a new texture, or a new shift every 8 or 16 bars, the energy can flatten even if the drums are technically busy. The groove needs landmarks, so set those locators first. Intro, build, drop 1, breakdown, drop 2, outro. Now you've got a roadmap, and that alone will keep you out of loop jail. Next, we build the drum identity. For retro rave jungle, the drums need to say jungle immediately, so start with a chopped break. Drag your break into Simpler, switch to slice mode, and trigger it from MIDI so you can re-edit the rhythm by hand. That gives you the classic chopped break DNA. If you want extra impact, layer a kick and snare underneath, but don't bury the break. The break should still feel alive. That's the point. Jungle isn't just clean four-on-the-floor impact. It's movement. It's swing. It's little edits and ghost hits and micro-variations that make the groove feel human. A good place to begin is with a tight slice envelope in Simpler, just enough to keep the transients crisp. Then put EQ8 on the drum bus and clean up a necessary sub-rumble. A high pass somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz is usually enough. After that, a touch of saturator can give the break some grit. And if you want more glue, use glue compressor on the drum bus with a slowish attack and medium release. Just a couple dB of gain reduction is enough to make the drums sit together. Now, here's a really important arrangement move. Don't launch the full energy break immediately. Keep the intro version filtered and sparse, then let the full break open up in the drop. That contrast will do a lot of heavy lifting. This is where you should start thinking in energy layers. Instead of asking, what does this section need? Ask, which layer is active here? You can separate your track into layers like drum intensity, harmonic energy, bass motion, and FX density. So maybe the intro has a ghosted break, almost no chord energy, sub hints only, and light atmosphere. Then the build adds more drum activity, teaser stabs, rising FX, and a little more bass movement. Then the drop goes full break, full bass, full attitude. That kind of layering makes automation much easier, because you're not trying to reinvent the whole track every 8 bars. You're just turning layers on and off with intent. Now let's build the bass the right way. For retro rave jungle, do not make one bass patch do everything. Split it into two jobs. First, a sub bass that is clean, mono, and stable. Second, a mid bass or reese that brings movement, dirt, and attitude. For the sub, operator or wave editable with a sine-like waveform is perfect. Keep it mono. Keep it simple. The sub is there to anchor the groove, not to steal attention. Let it support the drums and lock to the rhythm. For the mid-bass, go with wave-eatable, analog, or even a resampled synth if you want more character. Add slight to tune, movement in the filter, and some controlled saturation. You can use saturator, then EQ8, and maybe a subtle bit of redux if you want digital edge. Just be careful not to let the mid-bass become so wide or so thick that it fights the drums. A good rule here is that the sub should be stable while the mid-bass gets wild. That contrast is what makes the track feel bigger and cleaner at the same time. And when you write the bassline, think call and response. The bass should answer the drums. Leave spaces after snare accents. Let the bass phrase return with attitude. In Jungle and Rollers, the bass isn't just sitting underneath everything. It's part of the conversation. Now let's bring in the retro rave flavor. That means stabs. Rave stabs, chord smears, organ-style hits, sampled one-shots, whatever fits your vibe. But treat them like punctuation, not wallpaper. A common mistake is looping stabs too often until they lose impact. Don't do that. Make two or three versions instead. One dry and punchy. One washed out and delay heavy for transitions. One filtered or pitch shifted for tension. In the intro, tease one stab every 4 or 8 bars. In the build, increase the frequency and open the filter. In the drop, use them more sparingly again so they hit harder. A nice trick is to let stabs answer the drums at the end of a phrase, almost like a little shout back to the break. For processing, auto-filter is your friend. Start with a low pass on the stab in the intro, maybe somewhere around 300 to 800 Hz depending on the source. Then sweep it open as the track builds. Add echo for classic rave tails and reverb for space, but automate the wet level carefully so the drop doesn't turn to mush. At this point, you should have the main ingredients: chopped break, sub, mid-bass, stabs, and atmosphere. Now we shape the intro like a DJ tool. A good DNB intro is not just a teaser for the drop. It should actually work for mixing. So keep it functional. Start with atmosphere, a filtered break fragment, and one or two hints of the hook. Maybe a distant stab motif, maybe a bass ghost that never fully arrives. For the first 8 bars, you can keep it really stripped down. Atmosphere plus filtered drum fragments. Then bars 9 through 16, bring in a top loop or snare pattern, but keep the low end restrained. Near the end of the intro, tease the bass rhythm with muted notes or filtered resampling. The key here is movement without clutter. If the intro feels empty, don't just stack more layers. Add motion. A little auto pan on a texture, a subtle pitch drift, a short reverse cymbal, or a delay throw at the end of a phrase can make the section feel alive without making it messy. Now we hit the first build. This is where tension should rise clearly. Your job is to signal that something is coming, but not give it away too early. Open the filters a little. Increase the stab frequency. Add more break activity. Maybe automate the reverb send upward on a teaser element, then cut it back before the drop. One very useful trick in this style is the fake out. You can make it feel like the drop is about to slam, then pull the floor away for half a bar or a beat, leaving only a tension tail or a snare roll. When the real drop lands, it feels way bigger. And remember, in DNB, a tiny dropout can hit harder than another giant riser. Sometimes one beat of silence is the most powerful move in the whole arrangement. Okay, now the first drop. This is the moment where the track declares itself. Don't overload it. The best first drops usually have a clear core loop and controlled variation. Think in 2-bar or 4-bar phrases. Bar 1 is the statement, bar 2 is the response, bar 3 adds a twist, bar 4 gives a fill or turnaround. Let the chopped break drive the top end. Let the sub anchor the floor. Let the re-sensor the snare. Let the stabs pop in on offbeats or at the ends of phrases. That's your hybrid jungle rave identity right there. For tension inside the drop, automate the bass filter opening over the first 8 bars. Add brief delay throws on the stabs at the end of every 4th bar. Maybe push a little extra saturation on the drum bus in the last 2 bars of the drop to help the phrase lift. But stay balanced. If everything is always huge, nothing feels huge. Keep some room in the mix. Let the drums breathe. Let the bass hit with intent. After the first drop, do not just repeat yourself. This is where the breakdown or switch up comes in. Change the emotional temperature. Pull back the energy, but keep the identity. Maybe strip it to filtered break fragments, a distant minor key stab, and a sub pulse that only appears every 2 bars. Maybe go halftime feeling for a moment. Maybe bring in a broken atmospheric texture. Ableton is great for this. You can reverse audio, automate echo feedback, let reverb tails bloom, or resample a section and chop it into a new texture. This is a great place to make the track feel more cinematic without losing the dance floor. The important thing is contrast. If the breakdown is too long, momentum dies. If it's too short, the second drop won't feel different enough. So give the listener enough space to reset, but not so much that they forget the groove. Now we build the second drop, and this is where the track gets more dangerous. The second drop should not just be louder, it should feel evolved. Add extra fills every 8 bars. Distort the reese a little more. Change the bass rhythm. Bring in a second stab tone. Introduce brief dropouts for impact. Anything that changes the detail without breaking the identity. A simple workflow is to duplicate the first drop, then remove one element for a couple bars, bring it back with a different automation curve, change the snare fill at the end of bar 8, or alter the last 4 bars so the phrase resolves in a new way. This is storytelling through arrangement. Same world, bigger consequences. Finally, the outro. Don't let the track collapse at the end. Make it DJ-friendly. Strip the bass out gradually. Keep the drums and tops rolling. Reduce the frequency of the stabs. Filter the mix down over the last 16 bars so it becomes mixable again. A low pass on the music bus sweeping down to somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz can work nicely. Thin out the break with EQ or auto filter. Leave a clean drum loop in the final 8 bars so the track can actually be used in a set. That's the difference between a sketch and a finished track. A real outro shows discipline. A few quick warnings before we wrap up.